Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God, and turn with me to the book of Luke, the gospel record of Luke in chapter number 8. The gospel record of Luke in chapter number 8. We're continuing with our series of the miracles of Jesus Christ. And remember that there are 35 major miracles recorded in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed. And we know that there were an innumerable amount of miracles that Jesus did and healings and people that God had worked with. But God, through His Holy Spirit, has decided to list only 35 in detail. And with these details, each of them has a purpose. Each of them have something that God wants us to get across, or that God wants to get across to us, to explain His power, whom He is, and how we could trust Him. And so if you don't mind, as we find another miracle that is recorded within the annals of Scripture, the gospel record of Luke chapter 8. The gospel record of Luke in chapter number 8. And notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 40. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. The Word of God says this: "And it came to pass, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought Him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the gospel record of Luke in chapter number 8. The gospel record of Luke in chapter 8, the question that Jesus asked in verse number 45, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And with the Lord's help, we want to cover this miracle here of this woman who went and touch Jesus, and Jesus using this as an example, "Who touched me?" Now, as we had covered in the last couple weeks, this Luke chapter 8, there's been a lot of things going on. One of them is that Jesus had went into the side of the sea of the Gadarenes and had encountered with the man who was inhabited by a legion of demons. And he was up on the tombs, and he was cutting himself, and he was in chains and broke the chains, and the people were just afraid of this guy. But he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and the next thing you know, he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And an amazing thing happened is the people got afraid of Jesus, and they sent him away. They asked him to leave the coast and had him leave. Could you imagine asking Jesus to leave? Get out of here. They were just scared. They didn't know what to do, so they asked Jesus to leave. Well, in chapter number 8 and verse 40, we notice what it says. "And it came to pass when Jesus was returned." Where is he returned? He returned back to the same coast again, the same place of Gadarenes. So he sailed, took care of some business, came back. But when he came back, there's a different response. When he left, people were saying, get out of here, leave. Now they came back, notice in verse 40 again. And when it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now there's a change. They took some time to process, be able to go, wow, there's something that happened here. There's something there. This Jesus, his miracles. We look at this guy. We've heard him in the last couple days talking about what Jesus did. Now they're gladly, they're all wanting to talk with Jesus. And so they thronged him. Notice, if you don't mind, is immediately verse number 41. And behold, it came to pass a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at the feet of Jesus and besought him that we'd come to his house. So Jesus gets off the boat and the people are there. They're gladly receiving him. This man comes up and bows down his knees and says, I need your help. I need your help. Come with me. Come with me. I've got a daughter. She's 12 years old. Come with me. But notice in verse 42, for he had one daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. So she's currently dying. But notice this. But as he went, the people thronged him. The people thronged him. So as they're trying to go to with Jairus to go see his daughter, the people are so glad to see Jesus that they're thronging him. They're in the way. So it's not merely that they're following Jesus. There are people before Jesus, and it's almost fighting through a crowd. It's almost like a Black Friday sale, trying to get through the doors and trying to push through it. Everyone's in the way. And Jairus is trying to put Jesus. This big crowd is here. Everyone's there. They're not giving Jesus space. It's they're all trying to touch him. They're all trying to in the way. And it's here that this woman, she had heard about what had happened. This woman heard that Jesus had the ability to heal. And so she looked and said, I think I could get it. I think I could get my healing now. And so this is the scenario that we now find ourselves, that Jesus is being led by another man. The crowd is thronging him. The crowd is so thick and trying to push through. And here you have a lady now who is desperate to be healed. If you don't mind, let's take some time and let's explore this passage here. The first thing I'd like to show you is the woman was diseased. The woman was diseased. Notice this, if you don't mind, in verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So here's this lady here. She's diseased. She has an issue of blood. And so here's a woman who has a medical condition. She's had it for a while. No one's been able to do anything for her. And she is trying to get to where Jesus is at. She knows that she has a problem. She needs something. She needs Jesus. She's been looking for answers. None of the answers have come here. But this is a woman that's diseased. A woman that can't do anything of herself. In fact, the way that this disease works is she's considered unclean, meaning that the rest of the people, she's not supposed to be around them. Not at all. She's been outcast, put aside, diseased, no hope, left alone. And her only hope now is Jesus. Meanwhile, this man's trying to drag Jesus through so he could go heal his daughter. But here's a lady that's diseased. She knows that there's something wrong with her and knows that she can do nothing about it. Not only is this woman diseased, but we also see this woman was desperate. This woman was desperate. Notice again in verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years is a long time to have a disease. 12 years is a long time to have this specific disease. What was it? Notice it says that she had an issue of blood. Basically, she kept bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, and it wouldn't stop. And for 12 years, she is considered unclean. 12 years, she's done everything she could. What did she do? She did what she was supposed to. She had went to the physicians. But she spent all of her living, every penny that she had, upon the physicians and couldn't be healed of any. And because of her job, or because of her disease, she couldn't have a job. Because of her disease, she was outcast. She spent all of her money. Now she's penniless. There's no hope, nothing left for her. She's brokenhearted. She realizes something has to be done. She can't continue on. She's exhausted every resource. She's exhausted every possible hope for her. Nobody has any solutions. They're glad to take her money, but none of it has worked. She's desperate now. So now she gets to the place where she goes, if I could just touch Jesus. If I can just touch Jesus. This is a holy desperation that they have. It kind of reminds me of the story in the book of 2 Kings. Something we'll get to a little bit later in our Elisha series. But in 2 Kings chapter 7, there is a famine in the land of Samaria. And it's caused because there's an army around the city that's not allowing any deliveries. So no Walmart deliveries, no Quick Trip deliveries. The stores are empty. The farms can't be tended. This army has surrounded them. So much that people are buying a donkey's head for a lot of money just to have a little bit of meat. And if you've ever seen a donkey's head, it doesn't have a lot of meat on it. They're so desperate in the city that they're actually selling pigeon poop. And people are buying that to eat it. Have you ever been that hungry? These are desperate people. So desperate now that they had two women who had children. And they made a deal that said, you know what, we're starving. How about today we eat your child and then tomorrow we'll eat my child. And so they ate the first child. Can you imagine how horrible and desperate people are to turn to cannibalism, and not just cannibalism, to eat your own child? Well, the next day, after they've let the first child digest, the first woman went to the other woman and said, all right, we ate my kid yesterday. Let's eat yours today. And the woman said, no, absolutely not. I don't know what you're talking about. And now she's mad, so the first woman goes up to the king and says, King, she promised we could eat her child. Now she's not allowing us to. And the king's like, huh, what do I do with such things? When your people are so desperate and they're so hungry and they're not thinking right. You know, there's something about desperation that changes people's thinking. Their moral code changes. Their sense of right and wrong changes. It now switches to survival. And she's going up to the king and talking about, we ate my kid yesterday. And she promised that she'd deliver her kid. She's not keeping her promise. And the king just is stunned by this. This is a desperate city who's starving. And he's the king of it. Of course, the old adage is that whenever things wrong, blame the preacher. And so he ordered for the preacher to die. Well, that's going to solve all their problems. But you know, outside of the city, or near the city, is four lepers. Now, leprosy is an awful disease. Not that it carries the idea that your limbs are falling off, but it is a disease that causes pustules and blisters to come out and pus to be leaking all over. And that, of course, can carry more infection. And it makes you so that you're just an infection petri dish. And so they had to be kept outside of the city. And because they can't work and they can't farm, the only way that these lepers survive is if someone feeds them. But that means they're expecting someone to have some excess, something to share. But when people inside of the city are eating their own kids, there is nothing to share. So here are some four lepers that are desperate, desperate. There's no food for them. There's nothing left for them. And so they have the bright idea, let's just surrender to the army. Let's just surrender to the opposing army. They got food. And so this is our choice. We'll surrender and they will either kill us, then we'll no longer suffer, or they'll take us prisoner and they will feed their prisoners. So let's surrender. Now, what they don't realize is that as there on the outside, in the inside, the king goes, sends a messenger to the preacher and says, listen here, Elisha, we're going to kill you because it's your fault. And Elisha says, listen here, God's going to answer prayer. By this time tomorrow, the supermarkets will be all full, the shelves will be all full, and by the way, you are not going to touch any of it. Can you imagine people are starving and yet the preacher is saying, hey, tomorrow the shelves are going to be so full that all the stuff will be cheap. People could buy it for nothing. Well, that's kind of hard to believe. So these four prisoners, they're getting ready to go and surrender to the gate, to the enemy. So all four of them raise their hand. All four of them are ready to go. And they approach the encampment of the enemy. And they don't see anybody. Well, it's hard to surrender when there's no one to surrender to. All right, so they kind of talk and put their hands down and figure out, what are we going to do? Well, maybe they're in their tent. Maybe we're just in the wrong thing. Maybe there's someone in their tent. Someone's got to go check out the tent. So they get together and they said, all right, who's going to go? Well, let's rock, paper, scissors for it. One. Oh, man, I lost. And so he goes in and the three friends watches. The one guy goes in, kind of creeps, looks around, making sure no one's there, looks into the tent and disappears in the tent. And the next thing you hear is a bunch of noise just inside and then nothing. What happened to him? Finally, the other three friends say, maybe we should go check him out and make sure he's all right. And so they kind of tiptoe and look through the tent, and I could almost see the Scooby-Doo thing where they have one head pop in, one head pop in, and one head pop in, and they're all looking. And they look at their friend who's got a big turkey leg in his hand and mashed potatoes in his hand and just looking and, hi, guys. And the tent's empty, but it's full of food. And so all the lepers go in and start eating food and filling their pockets full. And they said, well, we're full, but where is everybody? And so they go find another tent, and this time they look in, and rock, paper, scissors, the guy goes in, and hears a lot of noise, and then nothing, and they investigate it. This one has all the treasure in it, so they start filling their pockets full of money and gold, and woohoo, we're rich! What had happened is that God had allowed all of the surrounding army to hear a noise. And the whole army figured another invading army was going to come and kill them. And so they were so scared because the rumble was so real, they thought they were right there, that they abandoned everything, their tent, their food, and just took off running, left everything there. What caused these four lepers to go into the camp in the first place? Because they were desperate. They were desperate. They were going to do something that they would not normally do. And as we come back to here, here's a woman that is desperate. This is a woman that doesn't want to have attention on her. She has tried everything. And technically, she's not even supposed to be around people right now. So she's left her little isolated home, wherever she's at. And she's seeing the throng of people. And one thing in her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. I don't even have to touch Jesus. I don't have to talk to him. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, that's all I need. She was just that desperate. And so as the crowd is thronging around Jesus, as they're all surrounding and keeping it so Jairus is trying to pull Jesus and get out of the way. They're trying to push and the crowd is pulling against him. This lady is sneaking up behind and trying to go through the crowd and hunching over and just trying not to be seen, trying to get her way just to touch Jesus. Why did she get to the place? Because she was desperate. She was desperate. You know how often it takes for someone to finally look after Jesus, they have to be desperate. They get to the place where things are falling apart. Not all people, but there are some people, the only time they look for Jesus is when they're desperate. They've tried everything in their power. They've done everything their intellect has told them to do. Well, if I do this, it will work out. If I figure this out, it'll do this. They've gone to all of their friends, and their friends can no longer help them out. They've gone to their parents, and their parents don't have the answers. They've gone to all of society. They've looked for everything, and there is nothing there, and nothing is working out. And they finally get desperate. And this type of desperation, they're not drawing attention to themselves. They're not saying, "Hey, Jesus." Some of them are trying to quietly, sneakily, where no one can see them. If I could just get to Jesus. If I could just, maybe he will be the answer that I'm looking for. And so here she is, trying to get between the crowd. Everyone's trying to touch Jesus. And she's sneaking in. And she finally grabs the hem of his garment, just touches it. Which brings us to the third thing. She was delivered. She was delivered. She didn't allow anything to stand her in her way, and she finally touched him. Notice as the story picks up in Luke chapter 8, verse 44. "And came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched." So here's this lady. For 12 years, she's been bleeding continually. There hasn't been a time in 12 years where she hasn't been bleeding. So could you imagine just to touch the hem of his garment, and all of a sudden, the disease that she's been battling with 12 years stopped, healed, and immediately changed. It was something she could tell had affected immediately. So you can almost see, touch the hem of a garment, and then just a shocked and, oh, wow, immediately. She was hoping just to encounter Jesus, just touch the hem of his garment, and then just slink away. But Jesus wasn't having that. Notice in verse 45. "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" So here's Jairus trying to get Jesus to his 12-year-old daughter. And he's fighting against the crowd, trying to push Jesus. You'd see him having his arm, trying to drag him. And all of a sudden, Jesus stiffens up, stops. Jairus is trying to pull him, and Jesus stops. And Jesus looks around and says, "Who touched me?" And of course, everyone's like, "No, it wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. No, it wasn't me." Everyone's denying. Then his disciples start getting involved. And Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And thou sayest, 'Who touched me?' Everyone's touched you. Look at them. They're still touching you. What do you mean someone touched you? Everyone's here." I mean, they didn't know what, you know, did he poke you in the eye? Did they try to, what did they do? What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's here. And everyone else in the crowd's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do it." And they're all looking around, and the whole thing stopped. Jairus is like, "Come on." And this woman, you could almost imagine her trying to be as small as possible. Have you ever been in a thing where you wish you could be invisible? She wished she could be invisible. She's trying to make herself small and trying. And it's obvious that Jesus isn't going anywhere until he gets an answer. "Who touched me? Hey, who touched me? What do you mean? Everyone touched you." No. "Someone touched me." Notice as Jesus addresses this, 46. "And Jesus said, 'Someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.'" This idea of virtue here is this little bit of miracle power. Someone touched me and someone got healed. Someone by faith came to me, and when they came to me, they got healed. Who was it? Who just got healed? "Someone touched me." And everyone's looking around, and I don't know what he's talking about. So he just stops the whole procession. Verse 47. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid," so she realized she's not getting out of this. "When she realized she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she touched him and how she was healed immediately." So she came and relayed the story of how desperate she was. And if I could just touch him. And now she's figuring she's going to get in trouble. Ever felt like you got in trouble? Here's the master looking at you. "Who touched me?" Finally, she admits it and she doesn't know what's going to happen. In her mind, the way that she's thinking, maybe Jesus will take it back. Wouldn't that be horrible? Who touched me? I did, I'm sorry. In verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Could you imagine what great words those were to her? Daughter, be of good comfort. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. You know, with this idea of made whole, it wasn't just that she was made whole physically. She was made whole spiritually. Because she reached out to the Lord. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus can heal us not only physically. He can heal us spiritually. He can heal us. He can take care of us. The people just need to get to Jesus. Jesus is the one who could take care of those things. Is Christ able to deliver you? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you desperate? What do I mean by this? If we get to the place where someone or something else will answer our prayers, we'll go to them. Maybe I'll give an example. Maybe there's someone that's desperate. Maybe they have a child that's loose. Maybe they have an issue of blood. They have something. And the correct answer is to get them to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Unfortunately, some well-meaning people get in the way and they say, read this book. Go to this seminar. Do this thing. And instead of them going to Jesus, they get a cheap substitute. And the cheap substitute won't work. So many times people will get cheap substitute after cheap substitute, and it gets people where they're no longer trusting in anything. Jesus wants us to get to the place where we say it's him or it does not work. It's not my intellect. It's not my great oratory skills. It's not if I go bash him over the head, he'll finally listen to me. Jesus, you have to do this. You have to take care of this. If I could just get to Jesus, he will take care of it. Jesus is able to do such things. Why did he heal this lady? Because she was desperate and said, Jesus is the only hope that I have. And she touched Jesus and it worked. Remember, why, out of all the miracles that Jesus did, why was this placed here? It was here for the place of teaching that she was made whole because of her faith. Because she came where it was Jesus and Jesus alone. We're going to cover this principle in just a couple minutes in their main service. But you understand it can be well with our soul. We can have a peace that passeth all understanding. What is a peace that passeth all understanding? A peace that passeth all understanding is a peace that doesn't make sense. You know you can have that. What do you mean a peace that doesn't pass, or a peace that doesn't make sense, a peace that passeth all understanding? Well, when things are falling apart in our home, we can still be right with God. We can still trust in him. When we have loved ones that are far away from the Lord and it doesn't look like they'll ever come back, we can still have a peace that passeth all understanding. We can still say, it is well with my soul because we're looking to Jesus. Looking unto him. Why don't people have that peace? Because they're not depending on Jesus. They're hoping that maybe this will work and maybe this will work, or maybe I'll work this, or maybe I'll fix this. Here's a woman who said, Jesus is my only hope. And as long as I look to Jesus and trust in him, everything will, I could trust in him. I can have a peace when everything else is falling apart. You know what's missing in today's Christians? I mean, there's truly Christians who have accepted Jesus. They're saved. They're going to heaven. But they don't have this peace that passeth all understanding. Why not? Because they're not able to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is able to deliver. Jesus is able to work. If I could just get to Jesus, that's all I need. I can have a peace in the midst of storm. I can have a peace in my heart. Now, I'm not talking about a joy that some people define joy as putting a silly a smile on your face all day. Hi. I know everyone's dying, but hi. That's not what joy is. Joy is not happiness. It is peace. It is a settlement. It is a stillness that only comes when we are right with God and trusting in Him. Do you know that you could be right with God when people around you are not right with God? You can still be right. John R. Rice was a famous preacher of yesteryear. And he was at a conference and he was signing Bibles. And a preacher came up that he knew. And he said, "Oh, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing?" And the preacher said, "Well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances." John R. Rice just looked over him, over his glasses, and said, "What are you doing under them?" We don't have to live under the circumstances. Circumstances should not determine our joy. God determines our joy. We can have peace when it does not make sense to have peace. Only if our eyes are on Jesus. Sometimes that means we're desperate and say nothing else will work. I'm trusting Jesus and Jesus alone. I'm not trusting Jesus and the mailman. We know some people that get so desperate. Maybe today I'll have a magical check that will solve all my problems, and disappointed when the mailman doesn't believe it. I'm not trusting the mailman. Can't trust in the government. They are not your hope. You can't trust in other people because people will let you down. But you could always trust in Jesus. And as long as you're trusting in Jesus when everything else is falling apart, you can still have a peace that passeth all understanding. This is a secret that true Christians who are looking unto the Lord can understand and follow. It is something that's available to everyone when we keep our eyes on Him. This is what Jesus is trying to get across. When He looks around, it's almost the same thing. Be of good comfort. Your faith hath made you whole. Because you trusted in Me, you have been made whole spiritually and physically. When we could trust Jesus with those things in our life, we can have a peace even when no one else does. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.